taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Yes, at first it will not be fair. Someone will have to temporarily lose his job. For the young who seek to live by truth, this will at first severely complicate life. For their tests and quizzes, too, are stuffed with lies, and so choices will have to be made. But there is no loophole left for anyone who seeks to be honest. Not even for a day, not even in the safest technical occupations, can he avoid even a single one of the listed choices. To be made in favor of either truth or lies, in favor of spiritual independence or spiritual servility. And as for him who lacks the courage to defend even his own soul, let him not brag of his progressive views, boast of his status as an academician or a recognized artist, a distinguished citizen or general. Let him say to himself plainly, I am cattle. I am a coward. I seek only warmth and to eat my fill. Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. And that quote from an essay from Alexander Solzhenitsyn is what I'm basing today's episode on. The essay is called Live Not by Lies. And it's something that is just as important here today in 2021 as when this essay was released back in 1974. Will we vow not to live by lies? Will we let the lies we see day in and day out be used to guide us? Or will we pledge to each other to speak only the truth? I've already talked about the lies coming out of the media. We've talked about lies coming out of politicians. The question is, will the American people vow, pledge on their honor, not to propagate those lies? See, that's what I want to focus on today. We cannot necessarily change, or at least we won't initially change Washington or our state houses or our newspapers. But will we decide right here, right now, that we will not contribute to it? For example, I have a lot of material to come through today, so hopefully I'll get through it all. But a professor at Johns Hopkins Medical School noted that, according to CDC data, basically half of the country has a natural immunity from COVID-19 due to a prior infection. Now, we're being told everyone has to get a vaccine, but if you've already got immunity, what do you need a vaccine for? We're told that we have to wear masks. But again, if we have immunity, what do we need the vaccine for? Now, I'm not saying nobody should get the vaccine. I'm not saying that nobody should wear a mask. But why is the lie that the only way to save ourselves, to save each other, is to wear masks and try experimental vaccines? Why is that lie allowed to continue? Another example, again from the CDC, they have what they call their Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And two medical professionals, and I've looked at some of the data out of this, but two medical professionals they're raising red flags. They're raising warnings about both the safety and efficacy of the vaccines in children, in pregnant women, and those who have previously caught the coronavirus. They're saying if we look at the data, to give a vaccine to a child, by the way, children already, the data shows, have an almost 0% chance of catching it. And if they do catch it, an almost 0% chance of dying from it. But now we're seeing that there are adverse effects being reported. Well, if there are adverse effects being reported, shouldn't a parent try to make the best decision with the best information? But how do they do that if they're being lied to? And if the American people keep propagating this lie? And not just children, pregnant women, even people who have already had the virus. And if the previous report was correct, that nearly half of Americans have antibodies from having contacted this, does that mean that there are adverse reactions? Should people have that information hidden from them? Should the lie of omission be how someone decides whether or not to get a vaccine? From a different report, there have been 18 cases of a heart inflammation after receiving the vaccine. And just in the state of Connecticut, not worldwide, not nationwide, in the state of Connecticut. Now, were these life-threatening? As I understand it, they were relatively mild. But again, I've told you before, I've been told by healthcare professionals, oh, the vaccine is fine, it's been safe, it's been through all of its testing. Yet I know for a fact that that is not true, that the vaccine's been released under an emergency use authorization. Isn't that even more reason to not hide the possibilities of an adverse reaction? See, if we're going to honestly speak the truth, the question is, will we stand up when everyone else says, sit down and shut up? For example, I saw this interesting article from the Federalist. For example, for months we've known that the COVID-19 virus does not spread through surface contact or asymptomatically. Meaning you're not going to get it if you touch something that someone else, that an infected person has touched, or if that person has the virus but is not symptomatic, they also aren't transmitting it. We've learned from examples from real life that a population-wide mask mandate does not work. In fact, there are many negative consequences with that type of alarmism, but yet we're still doing it. We know, again, from facts and data, from research, from actual science, that children are largely unharmed by the virus, and that those who are younger and generally healthy are extremely, extremely unlikely to die. Less than 1% chance. Yet I fully expect that anybody who shares this program, if this information were to be put on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, it would be blocked. As I said, when I was confronted with a medical professional encouraging me to take an experimental vaccine for a disease I have a 99% chance of surviving, I did not sit there and let that lie stand. What about the rest of the American people? And it's not just COVID. It's not just the virus. That's simply one of many examples. I've heard plenty of people decrying the racist trial of Derek Chauvin. Claiming that Black Lives Matter, claiming that George Floyd was killed for being black. How about an interesting fact? You know that when Mr. Chauvin was charged, he was not charged with a hate crime because there was no evidence of a racial bias in his actions. But yet we still have people today claiming that George Floyd is an example of racism in America. See, that is a lie that is allowed to be repeated. When are people going to stand up and say, no, that is a lie? The truth is that, yes, George Floyd was killed by Derek Chauvin, or at least while Derek Chauvin was attempting to arrest him. But there's nothing in the evidence that says it was done for racial reasons. See, when we ignore truth, when we allow lies to continue to propagate because, well, we prefer them, or we're afraid to confront them, life takes on a twisted meaning. For example, do you know what Los Angeles, Minneapolis, New York, Philadelphia, and several other cities have in common? Well, they actually have in common two things. Both push to defund the police, and both are now dealing with a dramatic rise in violent crime. In crime overall, but especially violent crime. Now, it shouldn't take a rocket scientist to say, listen, if the people who are supposed to enforce the laws are removed or downgraded from the situation, then those who wish to commit crimes are emboldened to commit more. See, this is what comes from the lies that are allowed to continue to exist. See, George Floyd, his death led to the false mantra that police are roaming around looking for black men to kill. And that presupposition led to the defund the police movement. And people who've been lied to, told that the police are out killing black men, said, yes, we should defund the police, save those poor black men. Yet now we have many black men and women that are suffering from violent crime because the lie was allowed to continue. Because the emperor had no clothes and no one was brave enough to point that out. Facts and data have become wax in the hands of pundits, race hustlers, Marxists, and the media. For example, the NAACP found, they did a report, and they found that through 2017 through 2020, black men were five times more likely than white people to be stopped by law enforcement, at least without any valid reason whatsoever. This was a research done by the NAACP, and it has been repeated ad nauseum in the media, by politicians, by those who are claiming that America is plagued by a systemic racism while they're actually trying to institute systemic racism. So this release, this press release from the NAACP, was an article on their website, which led to an earlier article by the same author, but never actually referenced study data. They never provide the data to prove it. They simply asserted it as a fact, and it was shared over and over and over again. So if you go to the NAACP website, at least according to this article, and you find the criminal justice fact sheet, and you'll find the claim that a black person is five times more likely to be stopped without just cause than a white person. And for this, people are saying, yes, America is systematically racism. We have to do something. We have to institute racist policies to combat this. We have to defund the police. We have to do all of these. We have to brainwash the American people. Because if you're white, you're racist. Because that's just what is being said. Well, except somebody, a group in the name called Just Facts, contact the NAACP. Can you please provide us the data? In other words, you're making a factual claim. Where's the data to prove this? When they didn't get an answer from the NAACP, they decided to do some research of their own. And they found a 2016 paper in the Journal of Social Issues. Now, while the primary results of the 2016 paper undercut the idea of police bias, when they actually dug into the data, the actual data, they found some information that had not previously been revealed to the public. They found that the percentage of those individuals who were stopped of color were comparable to the total sample size, that there was no bias based on race. That Latinos comprise 42.2% of the sample and 41.9% of those reported being stopped. That Black or African American comprised 24.7% of the sample and 25.8% reported being stopped. Whites comprised 20.2% of the sample and 22.6% were stopped. An Asian American was the only group who had dissimilar percentages in that they comprised 11.7% of the sample, but only 6.5% of Asian Americans reported being stopped. Now, there are limitations to how this type of non-random sample is used. But it certainly brings into the question the inconvenient fact. Are we going to take the word of a newspaper and a political action group, a political group, over data provided from a research journal? How much damage has been done to this country from the lie that Black men are five times more likely to stop than white men? How many? How much? As I said, I've got plenty. I've got a whole list of articles looking at this. Because the stopping the lie is important. For example, there are more and more reports of states banning critical race theory. Governors in Tennessee, Idaho, Arkansas, and Oklahoma have already signed bills. Texas, Arizona, and Iowa have similar bills in process. North Carolina and Utah are also working on legislation. Because critical race theory is a lie. It takes information like the NAACP and says, you're racist if you're white. In other words, it judges people based on race. It claims to be anti-racism when in actuality, not only is it racist, it's also Marxist. And this is being taught, this is being drilled into the heads of children pretty much from elementary school through university. The lie is spreading. And now we have a whole generation of young men and young men, women who have had this lie driven into their heads as fact. And you wonder why critical race theory is in the schools, in the corporate boardrooms, and in our government policy. So I'm old enough to remember when systemic racism was killed in America. And it's being brought back by the very people who are claiming to want to get rid of racism. And in the name of racism, or the name of anti-racism, the Thomas Jefferson Primary School in Peoria, Illinois, is getting renamed. It's getting renamed to the Reverend C.T. Vivian Elementary School, Primary School. Why? Well, you see, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. This is an uncontested fact. Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Of course, then again, at the time, or a lot of the time when, you know, when he was getting started, it was British law that he could not release his slaves. He inherited slaves. Washington inherited slaves. So let's ignore that whole Declaration of Independence. Let's ignore everything he did to try and set the stage so slavery could be removed from this country. Let's look at the at probably one of the worst things he ever did in his life, and we're going to judge his entire life based on that. Now look at your life. Look at back at the mistakes you have made in your life, and let me ask you, how would you feel if the entire world judged you solely by the worst thing you ever did in your life? That's what we're doing to our history. Now again, Jefferson owned slaves. Yep, he's not the only one. In fact, at the time, slavery was pretty much the way of the world. America was not unique in slavery. And it wasn't just white men enslaving people. Indians enslaved people. Even black men owned slaves. In fact, if my history is correct, the very first man to be permanently indentured in servitude was owned by a black man. But you see, we have to promote the lie that, see, Jefferson was a white man. Therefore, he was racist. He owned slaves. There's the proof. Let's remove him from our history. Let's ignore every good thing that he did. Because he followed the way of his times. The man who actually coined the phrase that all men are created equal, a phrase that would one day come to true fruition in a country that outlawed slavery, that worked to outlaw racism. And what does he get for his actions? He gets removed from a school, his work to promote the equality of all men is not taught in schools, it's ignored. And now, the man who helped work towards limiting slavery and racism in America is condemned for being a slave owner and a racist. Oh, you think it's just the old folks, right? The history. They're only coming after those in history. It won't happen to me, right? I got a few reports here. Anybody remember this guy named Rittenhouse? Now, if you haven't heard the whole story, I wouldn't be surprised because it's inconvenient. You see, Kyle Rittenhouse has been charged and is out on bond facing trial for shooting three men, killing two of them in the middle of a riot. This is the riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he was charged with, I believe, some level of murder, and he is facing trial. Okay. Whether you think Rittenhouse is a hero or a villain, he deserves his day in court, and he has a right to assistance of counsel. So what happens to people who are donating to a legal fund to help Mr. Rittenhouse? There are reports of cops and paramedics who have been doxxed. They've had their personal information posted online, including their home addresses, for simply donating as little as $10 to a fund to help Mr. Rittenhouse pay for his legal fees. Where is the truth of innocent until proven guilty? Where's the right of someone to say, I want to help this? I think this person deserves decent counsel. How about the Norfolk Police Department officer who anonymously donated to Mr. Rittenhouse's defense fund and who was fired for daring to donate to make sure that if Mr. Rittenhouse is convicted, at least it wasn't because of incompetent counsel? How about some truth for that? How about some more truth? Maybe something a little lighter. Truth is, we don't eat right. We don't eat as well as we could. And if you're like me and you travel a lot, it's even harder to eat right. So if you want to find a way, and if you're If you can't stand the idea of taking a handful of pills every morning to help make up for the deficiencies in your diet, well, I've got something you may find useful. It is called Healthy Cell. Go to healthycell.com/outloud to get 20% off their revolutionary gel packs. These are little packets, and you can take them as a shooter. You can mix them in a liquid, in a drink. You can put them in a smoothie, but you can get your vitamins without having to take pills, without having to deal with all that rigmarole, and help defend your body against, well, what the nature we live in. If the recent coronavirus scare has taught us anything, the best defense against COVID-19, the flu, or anything else is a healthy immune system. So I take the immune boost, the immune super boost. So give it a try. Again, go to healthycell.com/outloud and get 20% off because you listen to America Out Loud. And I want to thank Healthy Cell for supporting the Constitution Study Program. So please hang around and we'll be right back after this break.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
OutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We have so hopelessly ceded our humanity that for the modest handouts of today, we are ready to surrender up all our principles, our soul, all the labors of our ancestors, all the prospects of our descendants, anything to avoid disrupting our meager existence. We have lost our strength, our pride, our passion. We do not even fear a common nuclear death. Do not fear a third world war. Perhaps we'll hide away in some crevice. But fear only to take a civic stance. We hope only not to stray from the herd, not to set out on our own and risk suddenly having to make do without the white bread, the hot water heater, a Moscow residency permit. This further quote from Solzhenitsyn just shows this is nothing new. We have ceded our humanity. We have ceded our rights as human beings for the handouts from government. We've given up our principles, our souls, everything our forefathers have done for us, just for the meager existence that government plans to provide for us. This is what happens when lies go unchallenged, and when those who do lie are allowed to propagate them without any contrary opinion. We used to trust in the news. The news would find out the truth for us. The news would do the investigating. The news would challenge the assumptions and search for the truth. Woodward and Bernstein were lauded for challenging the status quo, for searching for the truth. Today, however, not so much. So far, ABC, NBC, and CBS pretty much are not reporting on the fact that Joe Biden stopped an investigation, or allegedly stopped the investigation, into the origins of the coronavirus. You know, that little virus that's been driving the world nuts for about a year and a half? The people that so many of us look to hold our governments accountable only do so when it's the political opposition. How do you trust a news organization that doesn't give you that information? How do you trust media that shield you from inconvenient facts? Project Veritas is at it again. They have reportedly received documents detailing an algorithm that was being beta tested by Facebook. This algorithm is called the Vaccine Hesitancy Comment Demotion. And if the reports are true, your score on Facebook was demoted if you questioned the efficacy of the vaccines. Your comments were targeted. Your comments were demoted. Not because they were factually incorrect. No, whether they were true or not, whether you had facts to back up your comment didn't really matter. So we have yet more evidence that Facebook is lying to us. A lie of omission is just as evil as a lie of commission. Yet how many people are following Facebook? How many people are looking to them to find out the truth? To quote X-Files, the truth is out there. We just have to look for it. So let me ask you, who said this? Quote, "These unhappy times call for the building of plans that rest upon the forgotten, the unorganized but the indispensable units of economic power." This person went on to say that they wanted policies that, quote, "that build from the bottom up and not from the top down, that put their faith once more in the forgotten man at the bottom of the economic pyramid." Now, if you were to think this was Joe Biden, well, you'd be wrong. You wouldn't be that far off, but you wouldn't be right. So it was Franklin D. Roosevelt who said this back in 1932. This was the reasoning behind what became known as the New Deal, the federal government spending vast sums of money, illegally, by the way, in direct contradiction of the Constitution, with the hope that spending of this money would stabilize and then grow the economy. Now, professors and teachers will tell American children today that FDR saved us from the Depression, that his generous outlays of federal money saved us from the dire straits of the Depression. Yet, interestingly, economists look at this and say, no, actually, Roosevelt extended the Depression. The Depression came not from the evil corporatists, but from government interference in the process. And yet here we are, once again, on the brink of a president who thinks he knows better, who thinks he knows better than history, who thinks he knows better than what has happened before, willing to borrow vast sums of money, spend them in direct violation of the law, in the hopes that it'll solve the unemployment problem, and completely ignoring the quite obvious fact that when you pay people not to work, they tend to either not work or find ways to work that are off the books. But you see, that's a little fact, that's a little truth that is not said in polite society today. Well, I say it. I say that President Biden has taken a problem and made it worse. Now, maybe he doesn't view this as a problem. He and Kamala Harris and others of his ilk seem quite happy to have people wholly dependent on the federal government for their substance. We see this in unemployment. We see this in the Green New Deal, completely ignoring the facts that so far, the only green energy that works 100% of the time, that doesn't need to be backed up by fossil fuels, is nuclear energy. The one energy which is all but verboten within the United States. When was the last time someone built a nuclear power plant? Oh, but Chernobyl. Well, yeah, you know, when you mismanage those plants, it's pretty dangerous. But there are other forms of nuclear energy than uranium reactors. There are thorium reactors. There are other ways of generating power. But the fact still remains, if you have a wind farm or a solar farm, you need a fossil fuel backup. For every megawatt of power generated by the wind or by the sun, you have to have a fossil fuel backup for when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine. But you see, that's an inconvenient truth. And the last thing we want the American people to be doing is making decisions based on truth. While we're talking about President Biden, let's look at another inconvenient truth. Looking at Joe Biden's taxes from 2017, we find that when he left the vice presidency in 2017, he and his wife Jill exploited a questionable tax loophole. They dodged $500,000 in taxes. Yet this is the same man saying that the wealthy need to pay their fair share. Well, Mr. Biden, when will you pay your fair share? If you think other people should pay taxes, you first. You first. And Joe Biden's not the first. He's not even the largest. John Kerry moved his yacht from Massachusetts to Rhode Island to avoid paying taxes. People say, isn't that hypocritical? No, this isn't hypocritical. This is what socialists, Marxists, and tyrants do. They get other people to pay what they don't have to pay. Think about that the next time you realize that Congress, every person in Congress, is shielded from insider trading laws. A pox on both their houses. The truth is, those who go to serve in Washington aren't going to serve. All right, some of them are going to serve. I'll try not to paint with too broad a brush. But many of them are going there to get rich. And the truth is that the very same people who want you to pay more taxes, who lie about who actually pay the taxes, are the very same people who are doing all they can to avoid paying taxes themselves. Oh, and it's not just taxes, by the way. Remember Senator Warnock? He ran on the motto of defund the police. Police are evil. Police are bad. But he paid $137,000 for armed security. So let's get rid of the police. The very same police that they say you don't need a gun because you have the police. So let's defund the police. Let's limit people's access to firearms because he can afford to pay $137,000 for someone else to carry a gun for him. Here's the inconvenient truth. Senator Warnock is, yes, he is a liar. He is a fraud. He is a hypocrite. But that just makes him like just about every other politician I've ever met. And just about every other Marxist I've ever met. And yes, They're not progressives, they're regressives. They're trying to take us back to the Marxist regimes of Stalin, Lenin, Mao, and Pol Pot. They are regressing us back to tyranny. And that is a truth that needs to be told. Now, they don't like it when we tell the truth. The people in power, the media, they don't like it when we tell the truth. They get real nasty when we point out the error of their ways. Take David Atkins. Now, he was recently elected as a California member of the Democratic National Committee, the DNC. And he mused on Twitter back in November, quote, "How do you deprogram 75 million people who would literally die to stick it to the domestic enemies the TV and YouTube conspiracy vids told them to hate? No, seriously, how do you deprogram 75 million people? Where do you go? Where do you start? Fox? Facebook? We have to start thinking in terms of post-World War II Germany or Japan or the failures of Reconstruction in the South." So, if you disagree with the Democratic National Committee, you need to be deprogrammed. You're not simply wrong. It is impossible that the DNC is wrong. No, you need to be, well, he calls deprogrammed. I call that programming. I call that re-education camps. I call that the worst sort of fascist, tyrannical, megalomaniacal nonsense. The lie that anybody different from you needs to be deprogrammed needs to be called out. The truth is, this man wants to brainwash anyone who disagrees with him. Anyone that challenges his authority, anyone who challenges his position, he believes should be reprogrammed, brainwashed. This is who is elected to the DNC. Now, I still say a pox on both their houses. I can't stand either political party. But if this lie is not challenged, if we do not stand up and speak the truth, one day you will be the person on that line being sent to be deprogrammed because your beliefs are inconvenient. We've talked about so many things. There's so many areas that we've covered here. I want to pick up a couple more before I call it a day. I don't know about you. I've been following the court case with the College of the Ozarks. Basically, President Biden signed an executive order telling colleges and universities they must let men in the women's room. Now, okay, President Biden has absolutely zero legal authority. It is not only is it a lie that he can do this, it is criminal for him to do this. It is a violation of the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States. For him to tell schools that they must allow men in the women's room is not only illegal, it's dangerous. Do you want your wives, your daughters, to be in a restroom or a changing room with men in there? But you see, the lie that it is intolerant to keep men out of the women's room has to be beaten by these people. The lie is these people are not tolerant of the transgender. They are intolerant of people who are not transgender. The very idea that you would take 99.5% of the population, of the women in this country, and put them in danger to satisfy the twisted mental issue of a tiny fraction of a percent of this population is evil. So the College of the Ozarks is suing. And they went to the judge and said, "We want an injunction. We don't want to pay the fines because this is evil. This is terrible. We want an injunction until the Supreme Court hears about this, until this gets decided. And a judge said, no. A federal judge decided they would not give College of the Ozarks an injunction until the case is decided. This judge thinks, yes, we should be allowing women in the or men in the women's room. And how dare they stand up against this? This judge is willing to put women in danger. Psychological danger and physical danger. For the lie that transgender people have a physical problem when what they have is a mental problem. I can prove beyond a scientific doubt that if you have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, you are a man. And 99.999% of the time, that is absolutely true. And for that tiny fraction of percent that truly have a problem with their gender, I don't mean they've got a mental issue. I mean, there's truly biological issues there. I feel for them. I want them to be able to have treatment. I want them to be able to deal with this problem. But I'm not willing to subject 99.99999% of the citizens to ridicule, to endangerment, in order to make a tiny fraction of the people feel better. Personally, the people who do actually have a gender dysphoric problem should be disgusted because they are being used to promote a political agenda. So, President Biden, your order is illegal. I don't care what the court says. There's no constitutional authority for you to issue an order telling people who they must let in their restrooms. That is a crime. And it needs to be called out. What this judge has done is a dereliction of duty because she is failing to protect the innocent in a legal situation. And one more lie before we go. Now, many of you know I moved to Middle Tennessee, and the Nashville mayor, John Cooper, has suddenly declared that gun violence is a public health crisis. Baloney. First of all, why is gun violence separate from violence, period? Why somehow is knife violence a public health problem? Is car violence? Is baseball bat violence? Is fist and feet violence a public health? No, this is a political move from a political weasel. Nashville's Metro City Council should be ashamed of themselves. If you want to deal with violence in your city, deal with violence in your city. But stop vilifying innocent, law-abiding people because you don't like the fact that they can defend themselves. You disgusting excuse for a politician. And I'm not going to stop. I'm taking Solzhenitsyn's word. I am not going to let the lie continue. I'm going to tell the truth, even if it costs me. As Solzhenitsyn wrote in his essay, "And thus, overcome our temerity, let each man choose. Will he remain a witting servant of the lies, needless to say, not due to natural predisposition, but in order to provide a living for the family, to rear the children in the spirit of lies? Or has the time come for him to stand straight as an honest man, worthy of the respect of his children and contemporaries? And from that day onward, he will not write, sign, or publish in any way a single line distorting, so far as he can see, the truth. Will not utter such a line in private or in public conversation, nor read it from a crib sheet, nor speak it in the role of educator, canvasser, teacher, or actor. Will not in painting, sculpture, photograph, technology, or music depict, support, or broadcast a single false thought, a single distortion of the truth as he discerns it. will not cite in writing or in speech a single guiding quote for gratification, insurance for his success at work, unless he fully shares the cited thought and believes that it fits the context precisely. Will not be forced to a demonstration or a rally if it runs counter to his desire and his will. Will not take up and rise a banner or slogan in which he does not fully believe. Will not raise a hand and vote for a proposition which he does not sincerely support. Will not vote openly or in secret ballot for a candidate whom he deems dubious or unworthy. Will not be impelled to a meeting where a forced or distorted discussion is expected to take place. Will at once walk out from a session, meeting, lecture, play, or film as soon as he hears the speaker utter a lie, ideological drivel, or shameless propaganda. Will not subscribe to nor buy in retail a newspaper or journal that distorts or hides the underlying facts. This is by no means an exhaustive list of the possible and necessary ways of evading lies. But he who begins to cleanse himself will, with a cleansed eye, easily discern, get other opportunities. Yes, Mr. Solzhenitsyn, you are correct. See, America, in our national anthem, we refer to ourselves as the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, our freedom is being diminished daily by everything from petty potentates to full-blown megalomaniacal tyrants. The lies are so thick that they have become treated as truth. If we are to be the home of the brave, we must stand. We must stand up against the lies, we must stand up against the falsehood, and we must stand up against those who are trying to take our rights from us. Yes, there is a cost. Yes, you may lose your job, you may lose that grade in school, you may go to jail. I think there are 36 people in jail today on charges of trespassing, a misdemeanor. But they are there truly because they stood up against a corrupted election. Oh, Paul, that's a conspiracy theory. No, it isn't. At least 4 states corrupted their elections by allowing the judicial branch to determine the manner of choosing presidential elections. And it's still going on. But the point we have to recognize is if we stand alone is when we suffer. As Franklin said after signing the Declaration of Independence, we must all hang together, or assuredly we will hang separately. It is no longer acceptable, if you wish to be free, to bow to the lie. We must stand against it. We must challenge it wherever it is seen. We must do so with facts, and we must do so in peace. But if they come for us, we must stand, and we must be prepared to do so. Reading from the closing of Solzhenitsyn's essay, it will not be an easy path, perhaps, but is the easiest among those that lie before us. Not an easy choice for the body, but the only one for the soul. No, not an easy path. But then we already have among us people, dozens even, who have for years abided by all these truths, who live by the truth. And so we need not be the first to set out on this path. Ours is but to join. The more of us set out together, the thicker our ranks, the easier and shorter will be the path for us all. If we become thousands, they will not cope. They will be unable to touch us. If we grow to tens of thousands, we will not recognize our country. But if we shrink away, then let us cease complaining that someone does not let us draw breath. We do it to ourselves. Let us then cower and hunker down, while our comrades, the biologists, bring closer to the day when our thoughts can be read and our genes altered. And if from this also we shrink away, then we are worthless, hopeless. And it is of us that Pushkin asks with scorn, why offer herds their liberation? The biggest lie of all is that truth doesn't matter. That this time we will do it right. That Marxism, it's not that it has failed, it's just never been tried the right way. This is a man who suffered under communism and Marxism, who was brave enough to write and tell the world what it was like. This essay should swell in our breasts the desire to stand up and be counted, to tell only the truth, to stand in the face of lies and say, this far and no farther, to stand our ground, to be prepared for the consequences, because the loss of liberty and freedom that comes from servitude is too high a price to pay. I'll put a link into this essay in the description so you can find it and read it for yourself. But I hope this got your attention, that this is nothing new. We are merely repeating what was done before. So be sure to make America Out Loud your daily stop for news, happenings, information. It's important we do our part. Share these stories, articles, videos, everything. And please help us secure the future of America.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.